The series is titled God's Math, and really we're going to be talking about wealth according to Scripture. And today specifically, we want to look at the fact that God gives wisdom. Now, I want to begin with a story today. I began with a story about someone winning the lottery and losing it all. It was really depressing. So let me give you a better story today. You know, there are many stories about people who have become millionaires. And I was researching them and reading some of them. And I'll just be honest with you, a lot of them are really boring. I know, right? You're like, what? No, we want like exciting. It's funny because you see, wealth is built by people doing the same things over and over regularly and having budgets and spending plans and all that good stuff. And that might be boring, but it's important. So let me read you this story. I hope it's not too boring. You know, don't start with a boring story, Pastor Don, but I got to give you one where somebody became wealthy. Slow and steady wins the race. I never made more than $25,000 a year until I was 28 years old. This is not me, by the way, but just reading the story. I made $40,000 at my first job out of MBA school and felt rich. For a year or so, I got a little credit card debt, but after I came to my senses, I paid off my school loans and my recently purchased car so that I could purchase my first home when I was 31 years old. Spend less than you make. I've always looked at how to save money, including purchasing used cars instead of new. Just listen to all these little boring things here. You'll get something out of it. Living in less expensive house and neighborhood than the bank said I could afford, and buying things on sale or used. Some would say living on one income in the SF Bay Area is impossible, but we've done it and still we're able to save. Always be grateful for what you have. I've been tithing or contributing 10% of my income to my church for the last 20 years. This is a young man writing this story, but obviously he was young when he started. Since my mindset is to live on 90% of my income, it's helped me to be disciplined in my other financial responsibilities. And then he goes on to give some more boring advice. But listen, take advantage of financial opportunities at work outside of your base income. For example, if your company has a 401k match, contribute at least that much to get the match. This is U.S. We don't do 401k here, but that would be like your pension plan match or retirement savings. Contribute at least that much to gain the match. I used to have an ESSP, that's an employee stock purchase plan, at work. And even though my budget was tight, I'd buy company stock at 15% below market rate and then sell 6 months later if I needed to pay expenses. Whew, somebody say boring, but he was a millionaire. How did that happen? He got some wisdom and he put it into practice. And that might seem boring to you and they might not make a TV show out of it or a movie, but this is how it actually works. You need wisdom and you need to put it into practice. You see, last week we talked about the fact that God owns it all. And I want that to be the foundation for this series and to never forget it. God owns everything and he gives it to people to steward and to look after. And when he does that, then we have that responsibility to do our best with what he gives us. Deuteronomy 8:17 is a verse that really talks about how God gives power to us. But let me read it. 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You yourself shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So who gives power to get wealth? The Lord your God gives power to get wealth, and he gives power to get wealth for what? His purposes. So he owns it all. He hands it out to people who will look after it for a purpose. So if God is going to do that and entrust us with what ultimately is his, I believe that we need wisdom to do it well. And I have good news for you. God gives wisdom. You see, God gives wisdom to steward his stuff, his wealth. We just need to ask. And this might be freeing for some who are like, well, I don't have the wisdom. It's okay. You can ask for it. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Why did he add that little part about without finding fault? You know, so many people don't believe they're worthy of what God has. Or they feel like, well, I've made mess ups. I've made mistakes. So I don't think it's for me. It's for you. In other words, if you ask for wisdom and you're sincere, he will give it. He's not going to be like, well, I give certain people wisdom, but not you. You don't look like the kind I want to get. If you're wanting wisdom, he'll give it. Ask for it. If you're like, yeah, but I've done some stupid things, then you really need to ask for wisdom. So you quit doing stupid things. Ask. He will gladly give it. Go ahead, ask God for wisdom. Proverbs 2 verse 3 says this, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek it as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you'll find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Now I said you need to ask for wisdom and he'll give it. This verse takes a little farther and he says, cry out for discernment. Lift up your voice for understanding. What is he saying in those terms? He is telling you and I that if you really want it, you go after it. The idea of crying out is somebody who wants something bad enough that they're not too proud to be like, hey, I need some help over here. Pride keeps people from asking for help. But they're okay to cry out. There's a story that uses similar language in the New Testament, and maybe some of you remember it. There was a blind man on the side of the road when Jesus was going by with his followers, and always a large crowd. Now, this blind man began to cry out to Jesus. He wanted something, and he wasn't going to be left there without getting it. This is the same type of terminology, crying out for wisdom. I'm not going to be left here without it. I'm going after it. And you see, so this blind man calls out, Jesus, Son of David. And he cries out again and again. And the disciples are like, Jesus, maybe you should tell this guy to be quiet. And they just take matters into their own hands because they're so annoyed by this really loud guy. Could you like, you know, just be quiet, please? You're annoying us with all your crying out. And the blind man is so determined that he's going to get what he's going after. He's crying out for it. He has a desire for it. That he doesn't care if the disciples tell him to be quiet. He gets louder. You ever had that feeling inside you? Like, I'm going after this. And somebody's like, I don't think you should. This is not really for you. You don't have what it takes. When someone tells you you don't have what it takes, but there's a burning desire in you to go there, then you better get a little louder. Because it just means you're pretty close. And the old enemy is trying to be like, oh, he's getting too close. Stop him now. So cry a little louder because the blind man did. He's like, nope, Jesus! The disciples, shh, be quiet. No, Jesus. Jesus stops. He comes over to the blind man. He says, you know, bring him to me. They bring him to him. He's before the blind man now. And something interesting happens. And I want you to catch this and never forget it. Jesus, who knows all things, he knows exactly what this blind man wants, says to the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? Why? He has all the power. He knows the guy wants to be healed. Why does he ask him, what do you want me to do for you? This is a key to moving forward in faith with God. This is a key to moving forward in gaining wisdom, in gaining what God has for you. You need to ask. You need to know what it is you want and where you're headed. And you got to be willing to ask. What do you want me to do for you? The craziest question of all time. Everybody knows what he wants him to do. And the blind man has to use his words from his heart and say, I want you to give me my sight. And of course, Jesus does it. Jesus did that all through scripture. You can go read it. And many times after they received, you know what he would say to them? According to your faith, What is faith? Determination on your part, believing God can do it so much that you take the steps toward it and he does it. That's faith. Well, guess what? Wisdom comes the same way. You need to go after it. It's not going to just fall out of the sky on your head. You know, I heard about the young person who wanted to know lots about the Bible, so they put it under their pillow and slept on it so that they could learn lots about the Bible while they slept. That was cute, but they didn't learn anything about the Bible. It doesn't come that way. You need to cry out after it. Go after it, and go after it from deep within. Jesus said something to those that were listening in Matthew 7, verse 7. He said, "Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Maybe some of you memorized that scripture in a different translation and it just said, "Ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find." That ask and that seek mean and have in them the idea of ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. It's not a one-time event. It's not like, "Oh, God, can you help me? Yeah, he didn't help me. He's not real. I quit." What? Seriously? Let me take this into the real world. How many times did you ask that girl you liked to go on a date with you before she said yes? I know there's some guys here the very first time she said yes. I don't believe it. Okay, maybe for some they did. I don't know. But often it doesn't work that way. You have to prove that that is what you want. You have to show that, yes, I mean this. And go ahead and ask again with God. If you've asked something and you didn't get the answer, ask again. Seek him again. I found out nobody who just asks once or just has a, "Well, whatever, if God wants to," idea gets to see the great things of God. Because he's not that kind of God. He's a God who is available and ready, but he wants to see, are you really serious about this? Do you really want to go forward? Are you really ready? And your passion and your willingness to go after it again and again shows him, yeah, you're ready. You do want this. I found out over the years, often when people are asking for something, they want it quick and they want it easy and they want it now, but they're not really willing to take what comes with it. Because you see, all the things that God give comes responsibility with those things. And wisdom and wealth are no different. There's responsibility that comes with what he gives you. Now, asking and keeping on asking is something that we need to do because that is where wisdom comes from. And of course, if you've been in church or the Bible for a long time, you know that the wealthiest man in the Bible was Solomon. And Solomon became the wealthiest and wisest man because why? He asked for it. Did you catch that? Well, no, just God favored him over everybody else. He had special chances because of who he was. Nope. He asked for it. You see, Solomon was in a spot where he was chosen to be the next king, and he's getting ready for his big debut speech. And he's going to get up on a big scaffolding. They're way taller than the platforms, but they had to be no microphones up on this platform, and all the people were going to get around. He's going to do his big speech. It's all set up. There's singers ready. They're getting ready for the debut, and he has a dream the night before, and God comes to him in the dream and says, "Solomon, what do you want from me? Whatever you want is yours." What a question. I mean, what if he'd been sleeping and he was just really hungry and he asked for cereal or something? What? Okay, I have a feeling Solomon had been praying beforehand, and I have a feeling Solomon already knew what he was wanting to ask God for. And God comes to him and now says, "Okay, what do you want?" He says, "I need wisdom. I need wisdom for what you're asking me to do to lead all these people. You need wisdom for whatever God's asked you to do, whether it's leading a family, working at your job, running a business, using the wealth he's given you. You need wisdom." And Solomon says, "Give me wisdom." And God says, "All right, You've asked for it. Here's what I'm going to do. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12. I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will give also what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in the world, in all the world, will be compared to you for the rest of your life. I found something out in Scripture and really in everyday life. Wisdom and wealth go together. Someone with no wisdom will not have wealth. If they get it just handed to them, they won't have it for long. Because wealth without wisdom doesn't stay. You see, you don't want to be chasing wealth. Obviously, when we wrap up, I'm going to clearly tell you, you want to chase and serve God. But for wealth to be there, you must also be desiring wisdom. They go together. Listen to Proverbs 3:13. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. You see, Solomon uses poetry here to talk about the fact that you should go after wisdom and you should hold it tightly. And he's using poetry in the sense of wisdom is like if you were going after that person that you really loved. So he's likening wisdom to a lady, your fiance, your girlfriend, your spouse. And he's saying, go after wisdom like that. Yeah, that's really a great way to picture it, isn't it? I mean, unless you came today and you're arguing with your spouse, then you're not going to get this one bit. Your girlfriend's mad at you. Like, I don't know, but if you can picture this, when you go after something, I don't know, maybe you're here today and you've never been in love, but if you have, I want you to stick with me here. You can be single, but you'll understand this. When you really love somebody, you want to spend time with them. Is that correct? If you're married here today and you didn't say yes when I said that, you're in trouble. I'm just saying. When you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. Yes. And if you got to go back a while because you've been going through some stuff, go back a while. You want to spend time. You want to hear each other. You want to, whenever you get 5 minutes off work, what do? You're texting if you're that age. Or you're on the phone if you're my age. I still talk on the phone. Sometimes people get calls from me and they're like, huh, why is he calling me? Am I in trouble? No, in my day, you talk to people. But then there's the texting generation. Then there's the social media. And then there's the Snapchat generation. Yeah, that's me. I don't know what they do on Snapchat. I'm just winging it here. But, you know, whenever you get a minute, you're connecting with that person you love, aren't you? Because that's what you want. And he's saying, go after wisdom like that. Because, oh my goodness, what wisdom brings back to you is amazing. So, church, we need to ask for wisdom, seek for wisdom, go after it, because when you do, God says he will pour it out. Now, God gives wisdom throughout the Bible about wealth. And one of the things that we see when we're reading Scripture is this. The wisdom that God gives says that we should create a plan or be able to manage wealth. Or in our day and age, we might call this a spending plan or a budget. Proverbs 21:20, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Whew, sometimes at the end of the month, I feel like a fool. Where did it go? Well, a spending plan helps you with that. And the spending plan says, this is what we're going to do with it, this is where we're going to put it, and this is how we're going to look after it. Let me read you another story of a millionaire. And this one is slightly boring too, but not as boring as the first one. But it's good. And it kind of connects with that verse we just read. This is a young lady who had written this story. She said, I invested when I was young and compound interest did its magic. The majority of my net worth comes from the beginning of my career. a lot of expatriate workers used the low cost of overseas living plus tax savings to just have a good time. A lot spend their money on exotic travel. Some drink their salary away, but not everyone does that. I lived with extreme frugality and plowed money into low-fee mutual funds. It's just a savings type savings account that brings some investment back. Even when my salary wasn't very high, I saved up to 70% of my gross income. In the first 15 years of my career, I saved an average of $40,000 per year. That average varied a lot from year to year, like one year was zero, but the average was $40,000. After I got married, my salary continued to go up, but my savings rate tapered off. In the last 10 years, I've averaged about $15,000 per year. All of my savings went into mutual funds. My return on income has averaged 9% per year. That's not as spectacular as ESI's return, but it's roughly the same as S&P 500 over the same period, so I'm happy. Are you bored yet? Anyways, that brings me to today's total of $3.4 million. What? A young lady has $3.4 million because they saved early. I'm not going to finance guru, and I'm not going to tell you all about compound interest and stuff, but simply this, they saved early. The interest that was made went back into the account and made more interest on that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A nice way of saying that is she made money while she slept. Did you know that wealthy people make money while they sleep? I remember the first time I heard that. The only way I could make money was working hard in carpentry and aching back. And I didn't make money unless I was working hard. But wealthy people know how to make money when they sleep. And let me just tell you, it begins by saving. Save when you're young. There's a saying, the best time to start saving was yesterday. The second best time is today. You can't go back, so start now. So, as the verse said, fools spend whatever they get, but wise people have. Why? Because they don't spend everything they get. Well, how is it possible to not spend everything I get? There's always something we need. There's always more that I gotta have. The only way to not spend everything you get is to put, as soon as you get, I'm just gonna tell you a little management budget type thing. When your finance comes in, give to God first, then put into savings. Then do the rest. It's amazing how you'll figure it out. Yeah, but I don't have enough. Well, then you're at a place that costs too much rent, or you've got a vehicle that guzzles fuel. You can find ways to fix and change it if you want. But it'll never happen unless you do those two things first. Okay, that's enough of that. I'm going to tell you that at our church, every year we do a finance course, and we will be doing one again in January, so I'm just going to put that out there. There's sign-ups and a small fee for the books, but it is amazing what you get out of that. So kind of put that in the back of your mind. Probably towards the end of November, we'll have sign-up sheets, but just know we do that. We do it to see you blessed. I believe that God wants his people to be blessed and financially healthy. Financially healthy, I'm not saying that God is going to make every single person wealthy and millionaires here. That would be wrong for me to tell you that. But there'll be some, he will, but he wants us all to be financially healthy. Financially healthy means we make more than we spend. It means we've figured out how to be givers and all those things that are in God's word. So, let me ask it this way. Who would like to be financially healthy? Some of you maybe already are, yeah. Who would rather be broke? Not a single hand went up. And you might be here today struggling with finance. We're going to pray about that at the end because I do understand sometimes people get in situations and, man, it's painful. And it hurts when there's no way to look after those bills and it's scary. So I am definitely not making fun of anybody who's broke. I have been broke. I know that feeling of being so broken. There's a payment that needs to be paid. I get it. So please don't ever think we're making fun. But I want to encourage you. God has great things for you, and he wants you to be financially healthy. Luke 14:28. Jesus says this story, and he's actually talking to them about following him. But it's interesting he uses a financial picture. He says, don't begin until you count the cost, for who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. Have a plan. Look forward to what you want it to be. Set it in place. God gives wisdom to have a plan or to budget. All right, I want to move on to my next point. God also gives us wisdom and understanding from his word to make sure that we don't become greedy. Listen to Proverbs 28:22. Greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they're headed for poverty. Here's another one, Proverbs 15:27. Being greedy causes trouble for your family, but you protect yourself by refusing bribes. Does anybody know what a bribe is? A bribe is when someone gives you a special benefit as long as you do what they want. And often with bribes, there's a little bit of under-the-table stuff that's not healthy. But a bribe, according to Scripture, is never healthy. If someone's trying to give you extra to do something for them, to work this out, oh, just don't say anything, it's always unhealthy. Okay, a bribe is not the same as a gift or a bonus. A bribe is, I'm going to give you this if you'll do this. Okay? So, obviously, on the other flip side of that, you should never be trying to bribe people. Okay, enough of that. It gets quiet sometimes when you get on this stuff. Greedy, what is the definition of greedy? Having or showing an intense or selfish desire for something, especially wealth or power. So having or showing an intense and selfish desire for something. So guess what? Anybody can be greedy, whether you're rich or poor. Sometimes poor people think, well, wealthy people are obviously greedy and selfish, but that's not the case. Some can be. But anybody can be greedy. You don't have it, but you got a selfish, intense desire that I want it for me. You can be greedy for food. You can be greedy for stuff. You can be greedy for power. But greed simply is a selfish, intense desire, want, want, want. So when we're talking about this topic of wealth, I don't want any of you to get greedy or have this intense desire. I just need money. You don't. Greed will destroy. Now, I'm going to pick out a couple things that you could become greedy if you weren't aware or not careful. And, you know, you need God to bring you wisdom for it and make sure that you're not being greedy. I think about in today's culture, you could be greedy in the sense of, I want to buy more stuff. I just need more clothes. And I'm not just picking on ladies. Anybody can do that. I need more clothes. And of course, nowadays you can get clothes anywhere, everywhere. And without realizing it, if you're not tracking your spending, you're spending a lot on clothes. So don't get greedy. Look after it. Now, here's something I'm going to give you that will help you in this area, because often we don't see our own flaws, or we don't realize when we're getting greedy. So if you're part of a family or you have some close friends, ask them, is there any area in my life where you think maybe I'm overdoing it, like a bit greedy? Well, going to Tim Hortons five times a day, my friend, I might be overdoing it. Well, you get to spend fuel and yeah. You never know. Anything can become that, but how do you know? Ask the people around you. And not in a way that you're trying to fight. Sometimes for spouses especially, if one says something, you get defensive and, oh, no, I got to justify that. I do that because. But just have open conversation. What do you think? And have it back and forth. Is everything good? We're not, everything okay? You know, and maybe as you're having that talk, spouses once says, well, I think that you buy too many shoes. That was for the ladies. Well, anyways. And the lady's first reaction is to be, what? I don't buy too many shoes. Well, we're just talking about it. And then don't worry, ladies, because you can come back and it's like, yeah, maybe we could, you know, do less shoes, like, you know, one less pair or something. And then you can say to your spouse, I think you buy too many tools. Oh, here we go. I got to be honest, I do love tools. One of my favorite stores is Canadian Tire. And this time of year, we all know what happens. Things start going on sale. 50% off. I've seen stuff on sale at Canadian Tire for 75% off. Now, I don't know how come it's three times more than at the other store. In 70, anyway, 75% off. I'm telling you, you walk down that aisle, there's that tool, 75% off. And I mean, you can hear angels. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. There it is. Woo! He leads me to the amazing deals. My cup runneth over. Okay, no. We won't get that spiritual. But guess what? Just because it's on sale doesn't mean you have to buy it. And often there's people who buy lots on sale, but man, they are in debt. Now, if you run a business and there's certain things you need, you're going to fit that in your budget. And yeah, if you can get it on sale, that makes sense. Oh, Lord. I told you last week, he wants you to enjoy it as well. But if you don't have a spending plan and it's hurting you, it's not okay anymore. If it's become a greed thing where that's all you can think about, it's not okay. And of course, there's one more I got to talk about because, you know, everybody's going to feel this one. And I try not to look at people when, you know, if they're elbowing each other when I mention shoes or tools, you know. But for this one, I probably just have to look up. What about that? I just need to buy one more thing online. Oh. Online purchases are an amazing thing. I mean, it's so amazing. The doorbell rings and there's a parcel for you on the steps. And you're like, ha, 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 somebody loves me. You know you put it on credit a week ago. It doesn't matter. It's like, oh, yes. There is something about that, but guess what? You can overdo it. My wife likes to show me things online sometimes, and she was showing me this one little video. And the wife went to pick up her husband from the airport. And she brings him back from the airport, and as they're driving in the yard, the garage door is open, and it's literally full of boxes from buying stuff online. And he loses it, and he's like, well, I was only gone for 2 weeks. What do you shop online nonstop? And anyway, she starts laughing. It was a prank. She went into dumpsters and got all these boxes just to get him upset. But it's so funny prank. But how often do we try to get that satisfaction feeling by buying something online? Hey, make sure it's something you need. Make sure it fits in your budget. Make sure you're doing your giving and saving first. So yes, we need wisdom. We need to make sure that we don't become greedy when we're talking about wealth. Ephesians 5:5, you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. That's amazing. This verse here, he lists immoral, impure, and greedy together, and then he just decides, I'm going to focus a little more on greedy. Wow. A greedy person is an idolater. That's somebody who worships an idol instead of God. In other words, you can worship stuff. You can worship money. You can worship your big truck with big tires. Anything can become an idol if you begin to put it ahead of serving God. And church, I also want to say, this shouldn't be put ahead of your family if you're in a family. Okay? So don't let anything become an idol, because that shows that there's a greed issue. And according to Scripture, that's really bad. You're not going to enter His kingdom. Now, I'm going to end with this point. I'm not ending real quick, but this is my last point. You see, we need to serve the Lord, not wealth. And every single message that I give you on this wealth series, we're going to have this. Ecclesiastes 5:10, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. We talked about this before. Money is not going to make you happy, and you will never have enough if that's what you're going after in life. I mean, you've seen it, the famous movie stars with so much money, and their lives are falling apart. They're not happy. They're not satisfied, because money won't satisfy you. You need a relationship with the Lord. You need your purpose defined. You need to be secure and sure of who you are, no matter what level of finance you have. Your finance doesn't determine your identity. And the amount of wealth you have will never determine your happiness. Matthew 25, 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. It's Jesus telling a parable. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then he left on his trip. Again, this is a parable that Jesus is saying. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The Lord God owns it. He's the master, but he divides it out to those that are there. And he's not just talking about finance, but he uses that as a picture. The things of God he gives to us to steward, and he gives them 5 bags of silver, 2 bags of silver, and one. And these are servants of the Lord, and they're serving him, looking after what he gave them and making it grow. Looking after what God gives us well, it should grow if we're looking after it well. If you have a plant in the house that you're looking after, you know you're doing well if it grows. You know you don't have a green thumb if it keeps dying. So looking after well what he gives us, it should grow. And so the first two servants, what they have grew. The one who had 5 made 5 more. The one who had 2 made 2 more. And God says something to them. He says, well done, good and faithful servants. This is really key. He didn't say, well done, you've made the most. He didn't say, well done, you increased so much, you're amazing. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, when you're dealing with wealth that God has given you, you just need to be faithful and you understand that you're serving him with it. And then you do what he wants with it. And he says, well done, good and faithful. The only person in this story who wasn't faithful was someone who got fearful and hid what was given to him. When God gives you something to steward, he wants you to step out a little bit, and it might be scary. He wants you to invest or build that business or use it the way he wants it used. I found this out. God is not going to be mad at you if you tried your best. But when you do nothing with what he's given you, he's not okay with that. He calls that in this story wicked and lazy. That's just crazy, isn't it? I'm like, okay, God, I want to do my best with what you give me. I want to hear well done, good and faithful servant, not you're wicked and lazy. So the focus is serve him, not the wealth. Matthew 16, 26. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? It's amazing. These 75, maybe nowadays some people are living 98. With the oldest person, maybe 115 or something. That long of time seems so long, and we'll sometimes focus so much and just put everything into this little space of time. And like it all is about this, but it's really far more than that. It's about your soul. Maybe I can give you a picture of it for a minute. You see, this life where we're worrying about our money and what we have and what we don't have. I don't know, can you guys see between my fingers from over there? This is your life, your whole life, 75 years. But eternity is all this. This is eternity. It's going and it's going. Have you made it right with your soul? Have you asked the Lord to be your Savior? Are you sure where you're going to go after you die? Because that little bit, you've been putting everything into it. While I've gone on lots of trips, that's what matters. This is eternity. It's still going. But you were focused everything there and you didn't have time for God. I'm hungry. I'm not going for lunch. I'm coming back. You see, do you really understand? Right now is not what it's all about. Just do your best to serve him because eternity is so much more. And eternity is going to be awesome and great. So that little time over there, give it to him. Do your best. Make mistakes. Try new things. Fail once in a while. Just don't be lazy and afraid. And he's going to smile. He's going to love you. Serve him with everything you got. If he pours out blessing on you because you've gained that wisdom, use it for him. Never let it keep you up at night. And I'll tell you this, if you're a person who doesn't let money keep you up at night, God's probably going to bless you with more. Because it means you've already understood it doesn't own you. So serve him with everything you've got. I got to ask this question as we wrap up this morning. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to come into your life, you've never said, yes, I want to serve him, then you need to do it today. Because you see, that eternity I talked about, the only way to make sure that your soul is good is to ask Christ to forgive you and give you that right relationship with the Father. And the way you do that is just with words. If you're part of our church, you know we make this opportunity every weekend on purpose for those who might not have had a chance. So today, I'm going to ask you to use words, believing what he's done and experiencing that salvation, making your soul right before God. So we're going to say a little prayer, and I'm just going to ask you to repeat it. Oh, and again, I always ask the whole group to repeat. We're not singling people out. So repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. You took my place. And I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I thank you that I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen.